Hello, this is the Daily Tech, and today I'm sharing some more tech news with you, which is going to be very interesting, so do stick around until the end. You will enjoy it, I assume. I hope you do anyway. Also, all the articles that I do talk about today will be linked in the description, so you can go and read them if you want. So, firstly, Xiaomi commits to reducing the plastic used in its packaging by 60%, which is really good. We've seen these eco moves. But unlike Apple, they're keeping the charger and charging brick. So Xiaomi tweeted that it's committed to reducing plastic use in its packaging by 60%, which is a pretty substantial decrease, and it's going to be starting in Europe. And it looks like what's to be the Xiaomi Mi 10T Lite that's going to be making this step first. So this is just the retail box, not its contents, so you'll still get all the accessories, USB-C cable, and even a case. So the Mi 10 Lite, I got the exact same accessories when it launched earlier this year as well. As you're still getting all of that stuff. But yeah, they probably cut down on waste if they didn't include case, but I'm not sure. Do people actually use the case? I feel like some people do, some people don't. So if you can read between the lines, there's obviously a subtle jab at Apple, which just removed the inbox charger and headset, citing environmental reasons. But it's not clear how much plastic will actually be saved from this phone. Apparently a decent bit, because I mean, how much plastic is actually used on the phone? 60% might not even be that good, I mean, like, on the packaging for the phone. Of course, we've seen it happen before. Competitors lined up to make jokes about Apple when it removed a 3.5mm headphone jack. But then they decided to do it themselves, so I think that things could repeat. It might not happen though, especially for flagships. It'll be harder for Xiaomi to drop the inbox charger. While the 20-watt USB power delivery systems you need for the iPhone 12 are pretty common, 100-watt wired and 80-watt wireless tech is a lot harder to come by, especially there'll be major selling points, so they don't have to remove these things. So, yeah. Companies, I think, will follow this, like the more lower end. Same thing with the headphone jack. Everyone makes fun of it and like, follow it still. It's weird. I think we see the opposite effect. For some reason, flagships don't include one yet. The lower-end ones do. I feel like we could see an opposite effect with this, where it could be the lower-end that lose the charger, but the higher-end that don't. I feel like that is quite possible. So, yeah, not too much on there. Next up, Microsoft updates app to enable iPhone and iPad users to play on Xbox games. Also, I just forgot to say, first article was by GSM Arena, and the next one up is by Sky News. So Microsoft updates app to allow iPhone and iPad users to play Xbox games. I just realized that I already just said that. So unlike the xCloud gaming stream services, which only work on Android devices, the Xbox app allows users to stream games from what they're playing on their console. So Microsoft xCloud, which lets gamers stream games from their own servers, has been prohibited from the App Store as it does not follow the normal review guidelines. As much annoying as that is, they found some ways to change things. So the Xbox app is similar to the PlayStation 4 Remote Play app developed by Sony, enabling PlayStation users to stream their games to an Apple device over Wi-Fi. However, the app doesn't depend on both devices being on the same Wi-Fi network. It's allowing users to stream their games even when they're not at home, as long as the device both devices have a decent connection, which is really cool. Unless if you already have an Xbox and stuff like that, you can still play. Of course, Apple currently does not allow users to use their devices to play games using cloud computing, seeing as they already have their Apple, what was it, Apple Game? No, it's, what was it called? Apple Arcade, that's it. And they wouldn't want to give other opportunities, even though Apple Arcade is kind of a thing where you download it and play it on your phone, not anyway. They don't want to lose more things from that. It would give gamers more ability to play the higher quality games on their mobile devices though, if it was allowed. And Microsoft has criticized Apple for not allowing its users to access xCloud gaming streaming platform, as well as Google's cloud gaming service Stadia. But yeah, I think eventually it could be an anti-competitive thing, antitrust, all that stuff, where they're going to be forced to allow it, but right now they don't have to. But at least you're still getting something. I think it's quite cool as well. It's a cool feature. I might test it on this. Yeah, I might test that. You do need an Xbox controller. Obviously, I feel like that one was obvious, but still. Do I still have the app on my phone? Oh, I do as well. That's cool. Anyway, next up. This article is by Express. So Chrome users must update their browser now. And that's not Google's only worry. So if you're using the hugely popular Chrome browser to do everything that you normally do, then you may want to consider updating it, because they've just rolled out a very important security patch which addresses a total of 5 serious security vulnerabilities, including one that has been able to exploit a zero-day bug. What was I doing? Oh yeah. So, oh, is it not connected? Wait, no. Right, okay, yeah, so I'll do that later. Right, so yeah, so you need to be able to update, obviously you don't have security issues. So in a blog post, Google confirmed, "We are aware of reports for an exploit for CVE-2020-15909 still exists in the wild." Ben Hawks from Google's Project Zero team also added, "Project Zero discovered and reported an actively exploited zero-day in free type that was being used to target Chrome. A stable release that fixes this issue, is available." So this zero-day term is used when a newly discovered software vulnerability is found, and it's good to see Google reacting to fix it so quickly, as you obviously would want to. People can exploit this, and they will. Which is one of the sad things, obviously. It really shouldn't happen, but it does, so yeah. So as long as you fully update it, you should be good, and as long as you have the version 86.0.4240.111 installed, you're safe. Well, for now, anyway. So restarting a session is also quicker with the... what was this? Oh yeah, and news of this Chrome update comes as Google faces another challenge with the rival Firefox browser, releasing a major update to its software. I actually use Firefox, so this is cool. The new update, which was announced by Mozilla yesterday, includes a swath of new features and speed improvements, such as web pages that use Firefox, Flexbox-based layouts, loading 20% faster than before. So restarting a session is also quicker with the team at Mozilla, boasting that things can be running at 70% faster than before. And if you use Windows, there's a further 10% boost to its speed. That's a bit of a shame. It's not a shame for the people who use Windows, but for people that don't, that's a shame. Credit card autofill is also more accessible via card type, and the card number and the card letter is now available to screen readers. And finally, there's an update to the picture-in-picture button, which gives a new look and position, making it easier to find it. And if you have a Mac, then picture-in-picture also has a keyboard shortcut, which is really cool. Optional Alt, Command, Shift, Right, Bracket. That's definitely quite a long one. Before you start playing videos, and it will load. Or you can just click the button that allows you to do it. So yeah, even though Firefox isn't as popular, it's still a good browser, obviously. I do enjoy it. Next up, so this is by the Daily Mail. Samsung overtakes Huawei as the world's most popular smartphone brand, with Chinese firms struggling to overcome international sanctions and spying allegations. So I'm actually surprised that they were even higher than Samsung. So Samsung is once more the world's top seller of smartphones, edging out Chinese firm Huawei, according to a report from Counterpoint Research. The Korean tech company took the top spot in the global smartphone market in August, accounting for 22%, which is actually quite big when you consider the amount of brands. Second, however, this year, they took a global market of 16% in August. So Huawei's market share is expected to fall further due to, obviously, more sanctions. So, yeah, it's not going great for Huawei. Still surprised that they were higher. It's not really much useful stuff here. There's a graph thing here. Samsung's... Oh, wow, yeah, they did drop by 5%. And then, yeah, well, shame. So, obviously, Huawei are quite good. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a bit of a shame this sort of stuff's happening to Huawei, seeing as Yeah, they're still a good company. I mean, they might be spying. I personally believe they aren't, but there's really no evidence for that and all that. So, yeah. Guess if you like them, you like them. If you don't, you don't. It's one of those things. Next up, LG pledges to fix latest OLED TV NVIDIA RTX 30 glitch. So there's no doubt that LG's latest X series of OLED TVs are better equipped than TVs of every other brand right now to cope with heavy graphical demands of the next generation of video gaming devices. But that hasn't stopped them, though, from hitting a few snags with the first next-gen gaming devices, NVIDIA's RTX 30 series cards. So to LG's credit, it has already been fixed, or for most owners anyway. Two big initial issues involving even black screens when using NVIDIA's G-Sync variable refresh rate technology at 120 Hz, and some rather ugly chrome and downsampling. They were resolved, and although people using the RTX 30 cards with LG's X series of 2020 OLED TV started to report a further issue, noticeable stuttering when using G-Sync with high frame rates and color sampling settings. So the stutter effect basically sees momentarily most picture freezing momentarily and then skipping ahead every few frames, something that isn't particularly noticeable, but it does happen and you will notice it sometimes. So users have compiled the following list of where which settings with a list of settings of where the stutter occurs and one relatively low bandwidth setting where it does not. I'm not gonna bother reading the list, but if you want to read it yourself, then you can. It obviously, as I said, it will be linked down in the description. Oh, and this article was by Forbes. Next one, also by GSM Arena from the first article. HTC Desire 20 Plus unveiled with Snapdragon 720G, quad cameras, and 5,000 mAh battery. Just thought it'd be quick to go over this. So HTC is still in the smartphone business with Desire 20 Plus. They're not as big as the smartphone market. I used to have a HTC phone. It was all right. It wasn't the greatest thing ever. It wasn't great to begin with, though. It was one of their lower phones. I think it was like the 626 Desire, or Desire 626, something like that. So this is a Snapdragon 720G powered mid-ranger with four rear cameras and HD plus display and 5,000 mAh battery. So a 7.5-inch LCD comes with water drop notch for the 16-megapixel selfie cam, which is quite decent, and a resolution of 720 by 1600, which isn't the greatest out there, but it still looks alright, I'll assume. Sounds like it looks alright. The phone features a textured back design with ridges extending diagonally across the back panel, and it also includes a rear-mounted fingerprint scanner, which is really nice. I mean, you'd expect it, but still cool. And of course, around about you see a 48-megapixel primary shooter, as long as a 5-megapixel ultra-wide lens, two auxiliary sensors, a 5-megapixel depth sensor, and a 2-megapixel macro camera. So it has 6 gigs of RAM, which is quite good, and 128 GB of storage. It's also expandable, and it has a 5,000 mAh battery. Also running Android 10, which is nice. And it's an all right price. I mean, the phone's available in two colors, orange and black, for $295, and the first shipments are expected to take place on October 22nd. But there is no word of an international release, which is a bit of a shame. I believe it would only be coming to where is? I think it's only coming to China right now, but I can't be sure of that. Let's look up. Yeah, it's an all-rounder phone. There are other options out there that I might recommend more, especially if this isn't international, then you'll have to anyway. But yeah, I think there's definitely other phones, even from things like Oppo. I don't know. I'm reading off this phone by the list of ones I can remember. Yeah, there's other phones that you can use. Maybe a lower-end Huawei, but of course, there's issues with those as well. Lower-end Samsung, I think, is something you could go for at that price. That would be quite good. Next article by CNN. So Apple pulled its speakers off the store, but Logitech isn't worried. Yeah, I probably should add more context on there. So Logitech speakers have been removed from the App Store, as you would expect. They're making their own. So when Apple unveiled its latest line of iPhones and its HomePod mini smart speaker, the company notably removed many rival speakers and headphones from its online store, as you would, as obviously you want the only competition there to be you. But Logitech, a maker of mice and other peripherals that also used to having its audio products featured on the app site, isn't concerned. As the Logitech shares have surged more than 50% Tuesday after the company reported earnings and sales that easily topped Wall Street's forecast and issued a rosier look for 2021. The stock has now then more doubled, and it's not far off from an all-time high. So Apple may be looking to generate more revenue for its own products, as you obviously would, which in theory could not. They could hurt Logitech as well as the rivals Bose and Sonos. But Logitech is not dependent on Apple or the music business for most of its sales, as you would obviously expect. So revenue from speakers and headphones only make up 12.5% in total, and they're not all coming from the Apple store. And sales of mobile speakers actually fell 24% from a year ago in the most recent quarter. So it's not too bad, but it's still not great. I assume they would have liked to keep them on there, but obviously I think they would have known they were going. So yeah. I mean, they were going to do it anyway. It was only a matter of time. So yeah, like, I guess they are removing competition, but I guess it's as you would do. You want your own products to be on there, not others. And I think for the final article today, Video Games Chronicle, Amazon is sending out a free trial invite for its cloud gaming service, Luna. So of course, remember maybe a month ago most, that Amazon announced its Luna streaming service. It was probably a bit less than a month, but there we are. So they're sending out a free invite for trials for Luna. So announced in September, the Stadia and xCloud rival, powered by Amazon Web Service infrastructure, will also allow users to stream games up to 4K 60fps on PC, Mac, Fire TV, and iOS devices, with Android 2 follow soon, which is something you don't normally hear. You normally hear it the other way around. So Luna will offer a library of games behind the subscription service, plus Twitch integration and support for a $49.99 US dollar Luna game controller as well. Now that you'll obviously need to be able to play some games. So it will be quite good. The controller is also Alexa enabled, so you'll be able to use that as well. Some players who requested early access to Luna are now receiving invites and sign up for a 7-day free trial, and then after that they'll be charged an introductory price of $5.99 US dollars per month. And the service only supports 1080p 60fps as of right now, but that will change. 4K will be coming soon. Luna users will be able to subscribe to various paid channels offering access to their own game libraries. For example, the Luna Plus game channel, which is included in the base subscription, will include titles such as Resident Evil 7, Control, Panzer, Dragoon, Plague Tale, Innocence, The Surge 2, Ukulele, and The Impossible Lair, Arcanas, Grid, Abzu, and Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. So far, Amazon has announced one additional Luna channel for publisher Ubisoft, but obviously more will probably come in the future. So, yeah, I was looking forward to that. If you're still here, then do leave a comment down below saying if you would sign up for this. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed today's episode, because if you did, do click the subscribe and turn on your bell notifications so you can see all the latest tech news by me. Also, if you're on anything like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and then click the heart or follow button, there should be something like that. And of course, this way, if you've clicked any of those, you'll be able to see all the latest tech news by me. Anyways, have a good day.